This is Matt Webb on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So I'm very pleased to be joined by a very special guest, a gentleman who's no stranger to breakfast shows. It's Mr. Terry James. Good morning to you.
Hiya, Matt. I'm glad you read the news because I'd have messed that first story up totally.
Would you?
Yeah. I would have struggled with those name places, definitely. And I've got to say, you always know when you're on a good thing at a radio station, when you turn up and outside the front door are two empty milk bottles and an empty bottle of Corona beer. Does the milkman deliver the beer here as well?
I'm not sure about that. Possibly.
Good sign. So it's going to go well. No, thanks for having us.
No problem, Terry. It's been a long time since I've seen you. The last time I saw you was in 2003 when you were lecturing at Cambridge Regional College. Yeah. You lectured the first 6 months of the course that I was studying, which was a national diploma in media radio broadcasting. So where did it all start for you? Because I remember you way back as being one of the longest serving local breakfast show presenters
way
on what
back.
Was CNFM and Q103. Just tell us all about that time of your life.
Normally when I meet someone your age, they normally say, I can remember listening to you when Dad used to drop me off at school in the car on the radio. but you almost say, well, I can remember my granddad listening to it. Where did it all start? Really, I started on pirate radio. Well, I was a disco DJ before that, when I was sort of 15, 16, working in pubs at an age where I shouldn't have been working at, but that sort of broke into pirate radio station over in Colchester in Essex. Then Malta. I went to Malta to set up the first commercial radio station the country has ever had, which was absolutely fantastic. Did 3 years in Malta. Then Mid Anglia Radio, who owned CNFM, which was the Cambridge radio station, and Hereward at FM. Stuart Francis had a villa over in Gozo and heard me on the radio there and said, do you fancy a gig back in the UK? And that was my goal, to get back home. And so I came back on CNFM. I think it must have been about a year I did CFM. I was on Drive. And then GWR took over Mid Anglia Radio and lots of other radio stations. And then Q103 was launched. I did the evening show, the Hot 7 at 7. Can't remember that. And then Breakfast. I think around about 14 years on Breakfast, then left Q103, 3 years in Spain, setting up my own radio station with my wife, morning Sarah, which was one hell of an experience. We came back, we lost everything after 3 years. We came back with four suitcases and two children and our marriage still intact, which is a good thing, obviously.
Yes.
And then did some work for BBC Essex. Then 1017 down in Harlow, I did two, three years with them. And then once again, Ofcom allowed, I won't get too political, Matt, I'll be good, I'll behave.
You know the rules.
Yeah, that's years ago, I haven't been in the industry for it. Then Ofcom allowed Global to close lots of radio stations, which they're allowing them to do again now. And overnight, I lost my job, got a phone call, and decided, well, maybe time for a change. So I'm now working for the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, something totally different. Rather than lining fat cats' pockets with cash, I'm now saving lives from drowning. Totally different, but it's related because it's communication and stuff.
That's right. I mean, I obviously work in a communications and marketing job outside of radio myself. We'll come on to that in just a moment, but you must have seen the radio industry change over the years. I mean, when I was listening to you on the Q103 breakfast show back in, I don't know, 1995, 1996, I was thinking to myself, maybe I could do that one day. Not necessarily a presenter. I always wanted to do sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff and then ended up doing presenting as well. You must have seen it change over the years, not just in the 90s, but entering the noughties. We've spoken upon radio stations being brought out by groups and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you think it's taken some of the buzz out of the industry and what the listener receives on their radio? Or do you think they don't necessarily notice?
I don't think the listener notices as much. The listener thinks that radio is really glamorous, and don't get me wrong, it can be. It's great. What a great job to have, to turn up to play music and have some fun on air for 4 hours a day. You know, I miss it. I really miss it every day. It's my passion. But I think what it's like a lot of industries these days, when you start automating things, a lot of the passion goes out of that. And like a lot of other industries, it's pretty backstabbing. I used to walk around with one of those jackets that the police wear, because there was a lot of people who would stab you in the back, and I have been stabbed in the back. But you just move on, don't you? But it has, I think it's spoilt the industry, it's spoilt the product. The product now is a money-making machine, and that's why the global group are allowed to close lots of radio stations down, is because Daddy needs some of his money back from the owner of Global.
And of course we're talking about the amalgamation of the breakfast shows across the Heart brands in particular.
Again, you know, local. I can remember, I was listening to Heart once, and they pronounced Quai, Q, in the traffic.
So come Qui.
Yeah, you know, and that's like, you're not local, and it was down from London, it was in London. You know, and the shows that are being broadcast from different places around the country, and they're trying to still be local. You cannot be local, you've got to be local. You've got to be within the community, working within the community, talking to the community to make it work, and, you know.
But they would say that the reason why they've done it is because they need to tighten their purse strings and be able to offer us offer a form of local service. And a number of these stations would have closed if the stations hadn't been brought out, and what's happened has happened. That would be their argument. And I've seen that being banded around on forums all over the place. That would be one of the reasons why. What's your thoughts on that?
If you get the product right for the marketplace, for the audience, you will cover your costs. You will make money, and it's like a lot of it. But it does boil down to pound signs, I'm afraid. But as I said before, it's stations like Cambridge 105. With these stations closing down, it's a great time for the smaller stations to really have an impact, and you will get more listeners. But it's just making that product right for the audience, which you've got.